The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
If you have your Bibles, if you'll open to Ezekiel, the third chapter this morning. Ezekiel, the third chapter. As I studied this, I had the thought about my own self, and I know that you can also relate to this, is that we wear many different hats in this life. I wear a lot of different hats, not really hats, although I have a lot of different hats. Different hats as far as what our identity is. I'm a father. I'm also a son. I'm a brother. I'm an employer. Hopefully I'm a decent church member. I've got a lot of different identities and hats that I wear, and so do you. Even at a very young age, you have many hats that you wear. You may be, you're obviously a son or a daughter. You might be a brother or sister, but you may be in kindergarten and you're a student. All right, so there's many different identities that you have in this life. And there's one identity that I want to talk to you about this morning that is very, very important. And it is for all of us. But I have specifically on my mind the men of the church this morning, but that does not mean this is not applicable to the women, because it most certainly is. It's applicable to the children as well, and that is the identity of being a watchman. Now, you may say, what is a watchman? That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. The definition of a watchman is one that leans forward and looks out into the distance. So you can get that picture of somebody that's leaning forward and really, really looking out into the distance. And if you read through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, when you get to the book of Joshua, you will find that the Israelites had many, many violent battles that they had. You would find cities that they would come in and the children of Israel would take over that city, and the Lord would drive the inhabitants of that city out as he, over time, handed the promised land to the children of Israel. You may think about the city of Jericho. Jericho was a city that had very tall walls. And it was one of the, when you read the Bible, you get the picture that it would be very difficult to attack Jericho because they had these huge walls up around Jericho. And you know the story where they march around and march around and march around, and they don't need dynamite and they don't need anything like that or a battering ram to get through the walls of Jericho. They had the Lord on their side. It was a great advantage to a city, though, to have walls and to be fenced in around it. So when the enemy came up to you, they didn't just run in willy-nilly. That was something that they had to an obstacle that they had to overcome to try to get in to conquer the city. One of the responsibilities of some of the men of the army was to be a watchman. That means that they would sit on top of these walls, or they would sit in these towers, and they would look out and they would see. Now, all these people maybe down inside the city, they didn't see what the watchman saw. The watchman saw something that nobody else saw. He saw it first, and his job was to turn around and to warn them that, hey, something's coming. You need to be ready. So you'd have people down here maybe sleeping in their beds, maybe eating dinner or something like that. They had no clue what was going on outside those city walls, but the watchman would stand up there, and his job was to look and to see, is an enemy coming? Do we need to prepare for battle? So our job, all of us, but I say especially the men and the fathers and the grandfathers, is to be a watchman. Now, you may say, I don't understand that, because we're not at war here. We don't have armies marching up Boyd Road. We don't have armies in Zion sneaking through the woods trying to attack us. But see, the Bible tells us that our battle and the wars that we fight are not against flesh and blood. It may unnerve you a little bit, and that's probably good to know that you are being hunted right now. You are a to the devil and to the powers of darkness, you are a prey. You are something that he seeks, according to the Bible. He's seeking it to devour it. He wants to destroy you. That's what the devil wants. So if it unnerves you a little bit to know that there's something out there that is hunting you right now, currently, good. Go read your Bible. Pray. That's a good motivator to know that something is out there that wants to destroy you. Now, the Bible tells us this, that the devil is subtle. He's subtle. Now, you think about some of the, maybe the wars back in the revolutionary times, the Civil War. the way those guys would go to battle, I still don't understand it. I'll never understand it. Is they would line everybody up across the field on this side with their guns, and they would line everybody up on this side with their guns, and they would face each other, and there was no question, I'm coming after you. Somebody's going to say go, and we're going to start marching towards you, and we're just going to just destroy each other. There's nothing subtle about that. All right, they're standing there. There's no bones about it. Here we are. There you are. When the trumpet sounds, here we come. And we're going to march at you. And they slaughtered one another. And I watched that. And I think, what are y'all crazy? That's the dumbest strategy I've ever heard of. Man, get in the woods. Hide in the grass. You know, be smart about it. Be subtle about it. Man, when they line their army up, make them look over there and think, well, they're not here. They're not here. Sure, they're in the grass. They're hiding in the trees. You know, they're doing all that kind of stuff. They would be subtle. You know, and I never understood, why are we standing up like that, marching across just in the wide open? That seemed to be a foolish thing to do. The devil also thinks that's foolish because he doesn't come at us straight up.
That's right.
Now, unfortunately, in today's time, the devil is able to come straight up on people and they still don't see him coming.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he is a very subtle being. He's crafty. All right, so our battle is against somebody that is hunting us, and it is against somebody that is very subtle. Now, in Ezekiel, the third chapter here, the Lord tells Ezekiel the prophet in the 17th verse, he says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning." Now, he was not telling Ezekiel, climb up onto the walls and protect Israel with your physical eyesight and look for the enemies coming in a physical sense. He was saying, you are a spiritual watchman over Israel.
Right.
You're to stand there and you're to look and you're to see and you're to hear my word and you're to turn around and you're to warn the people of Israel. So the type of watchman I want to talk to you about this morning is a spiritual watchman over our homes, over our churches. And it's against an enemy that the Bible tells us is hateful, seeks to devour you, and is extremely subtle. That's the enemy that we face. Now, the Bible tells us this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? You know what that means? That means it doesn't take much to affect an entire body of something. You know that the Bible says one sinner destroyeth much good. You know, one person could come in this church, one person, and do tremendous damage.
Amen.
One person. That's all it would take. Sometimes we get sick. You know, we're kind of hopefully at the end of flu season. You may go to the water fountain, and you may hit that button, and water shoot up in your mouth, and the smallest microscopic virus get in your body. And in a couple days, you're sweating, your body is aching, and that little tiny microscopic virus has affected your whole body.
Right.
A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that's a lot of the way sin works.
Yeah.
You think about how subtle Satan is. If Satan wanted to destroy my marriage, and if he wanted to destroy my relationship with my children and with my parents and with you all, and if he wanted me out of this church, he doesn't have to go attack every single area of my life. He might could just get me interested and addicted to a drug. Now, if you ever watch some of these documentaries that I've watched, there'll be people who made huge salaries, you know, six-figure salaries. They had everything in life that, you know, that they could ever need or want. And all of a sudden, they're talking to somebody one day, and somebody says, hey, try this. A few years down the road, they have lost everything. I saw a documentary one time where there was a woman, and she was living in a drain pipe. In a sewer drain pipe, storm sewer drain pipe, and that's where she stayed under the road. And it showed, she talked about her life before, and she had everything. But a little leaven destroyed her entire life. That's how subtle Satan is. Pornography will do it too,
right, guys,
okay? Pornography will do the same thing. Now, a spiritual watchman. What is a watchman's job? I'm gonna talk about the watchman for just a minute. But more importantly, what I want to talk about is the people's attitude that the watchman is watching over. That's really what I want to talk to you about. So let's talk about the watchman first, a spiritual watchman. If you read through the Old Testament, what you find is the watchman stood on a tower. The watchman stood on a wall, which we've already mentioned that a little bit. So the watchman was somebody that could see what nobody else could see. He put himself on purpose in a position where he could see something that nobody else could see. Now, my responsibility as a father is to be a watchman. We talk about this in our home. My children know what that word means. They know that that is my responsibility. They know that that is their mother's responsibility. They know that it's their responsibility to be watchmen over each other. But if you're going to be a watchman, you have to be where you can see.
Right.
You have got to put yourself in a position where you have the spiritual eyesight to see what is going on. Now, it is difficult. And I'll pick on my own self for a minute. It is difficult to be a watchman if you're doing this all day.
Right.
All right? You probably need a watchman if you're doing this all day. Okay? A person that has their face stuck in their phone or behind a computer or maybe in your work or maybe in whatever is putting themselves in a position where they can't see.
Right.
I love to keep my children close to me. I like to know where they are. I like to know who their friends are. I like to know about their friends' parents. I like to know everything about where my children are and what they're doing because it's my job to be their watchman. I cannot be my children's watchman if I don't know who their friends are. I can't be my children's watchman if I don't know who the parents of their friends are. I can't be my children's watchman if I'm working 100 hours a week.
Right.
They say, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say, Luke. You only work 4 days a week. No, I do dentistry 4 days a week. If you think these sermons just pop in your head, you're crazy. Come up here and try it sometime. I spend a ton of time in this Bible. I probably spend as much time in this Bible during the week than I do doing dentistry during the week.
Right.
But, you know, I could let this put me in a position where I was a poor watchman over my children. I could travel myself to death, leave my family behind all the time, and travel myself all over the world preaching, and that would mean I was probably not being a very good watchman.
Right.
A watchman has got to be in a position where he can see.
Amen.
Now, a watchman also, we read about this in the book of Isaiah, a watchman also declares what he sees. Now, that's where it kind of gets a little bit sticky. You know why? Because we live in a world that nobody wants to be told they're wrong. Nobody wants to be told, hey, you're in danger. Nobody wants to say, hey, what you're doing is something that's going to ultimately end up destroying you, because that makes people feel bad and it makes them, you know, hurts their feelings. And we live in a society where you'll end up on the front page of Fox News if you go tell somebody, hey, what you're doing is a destructive behavior. You need to stop it. A watchman with the Spirit of God's help is somebody that should declare what he sees.
Amen.
Now, what kind of person would I be if I saw my children walking down a path and I knew that there was a copperhead laying in the road and I just said, oh, I don't want to tell them. They're just having such a good time walking down that road and I'm going to mess all this up. We're going to turn around and go back home. What kind of parent would I be? A terrible parent. A watchman says, stop what you're doing. There's a copperhead in the road. And if you take five more steps, he's going to be hanging off your leg. And we're going to have to go to the hospital. And you're going to swell up. And we're going to have to put the antivenom. We're going to have to do all that kind of stuff. It's going to be terrible. Stop what you're doing. There they are. Now, sometimes it is difficult to tell people what you see as a watchman.
Right.
Sometimes I have to tell my children, we're not going to watch that, guys. We're not going to watch that. Because Satan is subtle, and the little things that you pick up on there, in there, are going to get in your head, and you're going to have a difficulty getting them out of your head. Okay?
Right.
A watchman stands on the tower. He positions himself where he can see, and he is willing to declare what he sees. This is probably one of my favorite things. A watchman is in close communication with the king.
Amen.
Now, read back in 2 Samuel sometime around the 18th chapter. David is the king. David has a son named Absalom. Absalom rebels, and he leaves, and he is clever enough before he leaves that he gets him a pretty good following of people.
Yeah.
And his plan is to turn and revolt against his father. So Absalom takes his people, and he leaves and goes out here. Here's David sitting as the king, and Absalom's got his army, and David's got his army, and there's going to be a battle happen. And David says, like any good father probably would say, is like to his captains and to his army, says, when you go out there and you fight this battle, he says, deal gently with my son. I know he's rebelling against me. I know that he hates me, and I know he's wanting to take my kingdom, but please deal gently with him. That fell on deaf ears, by the way.
Right.
That's a good lesson, and don't leave the kingdom of God, folks, okay?
Amen.
So he goes out there, and this battle's going on. And there's a watchman. A watchman climbs up onto the wall and he's looking out through there. And David is sitting below the watchman and he's sitting there and the watchman's up high and the watchman can see. And the watchman communicates back and forth with David. If you're going to be a spiritual watchman worth your salt, you've got to be in close communication with the king.
Amen.
You've got to spend time in prayer. You've got to spend time in this Bible. You've got to beg God to give you the eyes to see the subtleties of the powers of darkness that are coming after you.
Amen.
You've got to beg God to do that for you. Be in close communication with the king. Psalms 127 says this: except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain.
Right.
Now, number one, a watchman should never be asleep. But we do at times, do we not?
Yes, we do.
I fail at times. There's times that I look back and say, oh, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? I should have been warning my children about this, or warning my family about this, or maybe warning my friends about this. But I was in some sort of spiritual slumber and a spiritual sleep. The Bible says that we sleep sometimes as watchmen.
Right.
And it says, unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh in vain. When you're on your knees and you're begging God to give you the spiritual eyes to see the subtleties of Satan, beg him to be your watchman. Beg him, say, Lord, keep this city. When you go to your home at night and you gather your family for prayer, beg him, Lord, keep this house. I pray that he keeps this church. I pray that he keeps this body so we don't labor and do those things in vain and we don't wake up and say, oh, something's coming, something's bad. If the Lord doesn't keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. Now, the watchman stands on the tower. The watchman has to be willing to declare what he sees, whether it makes him popular or not. The watchman has to be in close communication with the king. Now, what about the people's job? Imagine the watchman up on the gate, up on the city, and all the people down in the city, and they're just doing their day-to-day thing. You know, the people's job is to call to the watchman. Especially you young children, teenagers, y'all listen to me. The people's job is to call to that watchman.
Amen.
And say, what do you see? You know, we sing the song, Watchman, tell me, does the morning of Fair Zion's glory dawn? That's a song that we sing about the people crying out, what do you see, Watchman? What can you see up there? Let me give you an example, and I don't mean to brag on my kids, but it just made my heart swell with gratitude when they did this. We've talked about the Watchman many, many times at our house, and probably a month or so ago, the girls came to me, and they had a little catalog. And they said, Dad, we're looking to pick out some swimsuits. And they put it in my hands and they said, will you be our watchman? Will you look at these? And will you tell us what do you see and which one of these are appropriate for us to wear out in public? And I rejoiced in that. I hope when they're 16 and 17 and 18 and 20, they come to me and they come to their mother and say, be our watchman. Tell me about this job. Tell me about these friends I'm hanging out. Tell us what you see, because there's things that you see where that we don't see. And I pray that they continue to do that.
Amen.
Your job and my job is to call out to those watchmen. Children, talk to your parents. What do you see that I don't see? You know what? It may be that you don't get the answer that you really like. But guess what? They've been there. They've probably done that. And they've got some experience and some wisdom. And hopefully your watchman has been begging the Lord to give them the eyes that they need to see. So don't hesitate to go to them and say, watchman, tell me, does the morning of Fair Zion's glory dawn?
Amen.
Now, it's also the responsibility of the people being watched to discern their watchman. I've already mentioned to you that Satan is very subtle. How clever and tricky would it be for Satan to set a watchman on the wall that has his best interest in mind? Think about that. You can read through Hosea, you can read through Isaiah, you can read through Jeremiah. They were at a time when the pastors, the preachers, and the prophets were wicked men,
right,
who had turned away from God. The Bible tells us that these were men that spake a vision of their own heart. These were men that said, the Lord saith, when the Lord never said.
Right.
These were men that said, oh, it's peace, it's peace, it's peace. And the Bible says there was no peace.
Right.
That's a person who tells you what you want to hear. That's a terrible watchman.
Right.
A person that tells you what you want to hear. The Bible describes them in Isaiah as being dumb dogs that never bark. We've got some dogs, and when you drive up in the driveway, usually they're going to bark and let us know that you're there. I've had some dogs, like, yeah, it's my guard dog, and somebody pulls up and they just lay there. And they're just wagging their tail. You know, no indication that, hey, somebody is here. The Bible says these prophets who spoke a vision of their own heart were like dumb dogs who were, this is the Bible word, who were ignorant, who were sleepy, who were slumbering, and they would not bark. And this world is full of them.
Amen.
It is full of the ones that will stand up there. They will stand in pulpits and they will say, all is fine, all is peace, and there is no peace. It's your job to discern the watchman.
Yes.
And to see, is this watchman the person that is telling me the truth? Are they God-honoring? And are they following this Bible like they're supposed to? Now, let me give you just a few more things here. I want you to flip over to Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, for just a second. The reason I say this is, to me, I have a special burden to call out the men, the young children, the young boys. You may not have a family now, but you may one day. And your job is going to be their watchman.
Right.
Young women, you're going to marry one day, hopefully. And your job is going to be to make sure that you marry a man who is willing to stand on the tower, who is willing to declare what he sees, and who's willing to be in close communication with the king. Now, I'm not saying that the men, it's solely the men's job to do those things. But when the watchmen of the Bible climbed up on that wall, they were the men. They were the men. I take the full responsibility of being the watchman of my household. I hope that Tiffany helps me, but if she doesn't do anything to be a watchman, I'm carrying that responsibility myself as the father. What would you think of me if there was an army marching towards our house and my dad and I said, Mom, Tiffany, y'all get up on the roof, take these guns, and y'all tell us when they're coming? You would say, what are you doing? You get up there and do this. You get up there and fight those battles. That's why I say, it's important that the men understand that this is important for them to be the watchman over their home, even though it's not their sole responsibility. We live in a time when there is much, much evil about. It is everywhere. It is dripping in our society. You can't turn the TV on. You can't ride down the road without seeing something that just glorifies this fallen, wicked world.
Yep.
You need to protect your city.
Amen.
All right, protect your city. In Ezekiel 33, starting in about verse 3, speaking of a watchman, Ezekiel being the watchman, he says, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand.
Amen.
The responsibility of a watchman is vital. And if you, whether you want to be a watchman or not, you are. You are a watchman whether you want to be or not. And the Bible tells us here, as the Lord told Ezekiel, if you stand on that wall and you blow the trumpet and you sound the warning, guess what? They may not listen to you. They may say, I don't care what you say. There's nothing wrong with this group of friends I have. There's nothing wrong with these things I'm watching, these things that I'm listening to. There's nothing wrong with all these things that I'm doing. If you have blown the trumpet and you've warned them, and that is part of your pastor's job is to do that, and they don't listen, the Bible says the blood's on their hands.
Right.
But if that watchman sees it, and he sees the copperhead in the road, and he sees the dangerous friends that you're with, and he sees the things that you're listening to and the things that you're watching, the lifestyle that you're taking on, and he just stands back and he says nothing, the Bible says that responsibility is going to fall back on the watchman.
Amen.
Now, sometimes as a parent, you can do everything right, and they're going to rebel.
That's right.
Was there any greater father than God the Father? And he says, I have brought up and nourished my children, yet they rebelled against me.
Right.
My children may grow up and rebel against me. But I don't want them to get grown and look at their lives and say, I saw it all back here. And I didn't have the nerve to blow that trumpet and sound that warning. Their lives are at stake. As parents, as friends, some of these gray heads that sit out in this congregation, they may want to blow the trumpet and say, be careful with what you're doing, what's going on, because Satan is subtle, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump, and he is out to get you. So I pray that we all would take it very seriously that God has called us to be a watchman over our homes and over our families. And I hope that's been profitable to you.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.